At InDigital, we know that public safety professionals hold themselves to a high standard. In fact, standard doesn't do it justice. In over 25 years working alongside you, carrying millions of calls over our IP networks, your dedication has inspired us. That's why our ESINet goes beyond industry standards, not only I3 compliant, but designed to adapt to future development for a network you can count on when it matters most. Learn more at InDigital.net.
Here in Greenville County, we have 8 different places where a 911 call can be answered.
It is the largest county in South Carolina. It's a challenge.
The type of information that a telecommunicator gets from Radius Plus is location-based technology. You can see where the caller is, if they have a medical issue, if they speak a different language. They're immediately able to text to that caller in their native language. It reduces response time because it immediately gets first responders where they need to be.
If Within the Trenches has ever taught you something, open your eyes to what it is like to be a 911 dispatcher, or has inspired you to become one, then help support us and join our Patreon. Get exclusive bonus content, one-of-a-kind swag, discounts on merchandise, ad-free early access to new episodes, and much more. To join, please visit patreon.com/WTTpodcast. And if you're an industry partner, we have something for you as well. And now, for the show.
This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the 3 A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them. This episode is sponsored by InDigital, as well as Rapid Deploy and Carbyne, and a big shout out to patrons as always, and a big thank you to all of you who watch, listen, share, and support. I appreciate it. I wouldn't be able to do everything that I do if it wasn't for all of you, so thank you so, so very much for that. We've got new bonus content that's going to be coming up for patrons, and also for patrons only, a perk that they get are audio versions of the DRT, which is the Dispatcher's Roundtable, which have new episodes of that coming up as well, and the Open Mic Live sessions. So every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern time, we all get together for Open Mic Live, and that is live on social media. So that'll be Facebook as well as Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. Every so often, I'll throw Instagram on there, and that one is a little extra for Instagram, where people get to see a little bit more of the behind the scenes, especially when all the promos and stuff are going on. I talk to directly with them during that whole time. So make sure to check that out. Again, it's 9 p.m. Eastern time on social media for Open Mic Live. We share the lighter side of dispatch, all the funny shit that happens in 911. We also check in with each other. So on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, how are you feeling? And so we do that at the beginning of the episode and then at the end, just to see if those numbers have gone up. So it is always a good time. So thank you again for all of that. Make sure to check it out. And I have got my guest today, and this is going to be an excellent episode, just like all the others. They've been excellent. I love doing this, love bringing on 911 dispatchers and call takers to share their stories and, you know, just share their experience, you know, just a way to humanize that voice within the trenches of 911. So my guest today is Jamie, and she's a supervisor at Stevens County 911, and this will be out of Georgia. Hey.
Hey, how are you?
I am doing well. You know, so you're in Georgia. How is, and I can see the light coming in. How is the weather over there in Georgia? Is it nice?
Don't let it fool you. It's cold.
Oh, is it really?
But I'm a Jersey girl, so the cold doesn't bother me. So, but for here in Georgia, yeah, it was 29 degrees when I left this morning. Oh, right, sad. Now, it's nice. The sun is teasing you, but give it another hour or two and it'll be cold.
Man, so yeah. It is, I'm in Indiana. It's 39 right now, but the low for the day is 19.
Oh, see, and I miss that though. Everybody tells me I'm crazy. They're like, you are crazy for missing it. I miss the snow. I miss the cold. I thrive in it. I love it. My husband he can handle it for a month or two and he's done.
You know? There you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I used to live in Florida, in Central Florida, and I lived there for only 3.5 years is actually where I started out my dispatch career. But, you know, even during that time that I was there, it wasn't long enough for me to get used to any of the weather and, mm-hmm. and stuff. So whenever people around me, including my family, would say, oh, it's really cold. And I would say 65 degrees is cold to you. Like that's t-shirt and shorts weather. And even at like 55, I would say the same thing because it's still nice.
When I left this morning, I told you 29 degrees. I get home, go to walk my dogs, but I had to take my socks and my shoes and put my flip-flops on first. So I was out there in the cold, wet grass in my flip-flops because, I mean, I walk out in them in the snow. I don't even care. I love the winter. So, you know, when we first moved here, I'm thinking Georgia's sun. When the winter first hit, I'm calling my mom, begging her to send me all our winter jackets because I left them all home. I didn't think I was going to need them. I didn't.
That is funny. So, mm-hmm. So I have to ask then, as we're getting into learning more about you and your dispatch career, did you start there in Georgia or did you start in Jersey?
I've been here 24 years. No, mm-hmm. I actually came from a barbecue joint down the road from my house is where I first started working here in Georgia.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they sold it to somebody new after I had been running it for years. Sold it to somebody new. They cut my hours. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to look for another job. And this one gets brought to my attention. And me and my husband discussed it. And he was like, well, it won't hurt for you to at least try.
Yeah.
They accepted me, offered me the position. I walked in on the first day. And 11 and a half years later, I'm still here.
Oh, geez.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Okay, so you don't come from any public safety background at all? You just
kind
of,
all.
You were green just jumping in, huh?
I was mad because they cut my hours and I said, mm-hmm. I'm going to show you and get me another job.
Hell yeah. That's what mm-hmm. I'm talking about. So yep. You go from the barbecue joint, which depending on what you were doing there, I mean, you were kind of training for what you're doing now, customer service wise, right?
I started off washing dishes at lunchtime. Mm-hmm. I was fortunate enough to be a stay at home mom. And not only did I have my kids, but I had our other kids that all grew up together. Mm-hmm. But when the youngest two started school, I was like, what am I going to do with myself? Like, you can only clean your house for 2 months straight without going crazy, you know? So my next door neighbor ran the barbecue place. I asked him if he was hiring. He said, yeah, come wash dishes at lunchtime. That turned into dishes at lunchtime. Then it turned into being on the line serving the plates at dinner time. Then it turned into being the cook, doing the inventory, coming in on days off, making slaw for his chicken place. It just turned into a whole round doing everything type of thing.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah. So you were going around and just you wore a lot of hats there.
Yes.
What it sounds yes. like. Yeah. You wore a lot of hats.
Queen of multitasking. That's me.
And that's one of the important traits, right? Of,
yes.
of being a 911 dispatcher and call taker, you need to have that multitasking, just that ability to be able to do that
yes.
and keep everything in your head, keep moving, and dealing with so much that is going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now I'm the queen of multitasking at work. I was when I was raising my kids, but on my days off when I'm at home, I'm lucky if I remember to pay my water bill half the time. I'm not even going to lie. Outside of my major responsibilities, no, I'm not a functioning normal human being. Not at all.
Well, so just with like, just example, just with like meeting people, you know, and remembering mm-hmm. names, I don't remember where I read this, but there was something that was said that you only, you have the ability to remember like 100 different names or something. Faces you can remember, but you can only keep that many in your head. And, you know, once you remember another person, like one of those other ones goes out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it keeps cycling through and cycling through. And it's crazy to think that, you know, there's only so much that we can, you know, can remember. But when we're out of work and we're at home, you know, I guess it's more so you're at home and you want to relax, right? And whatever happens.
I run around like a chicken with my head chopped off on my days off too. But it's just like you said, I try to cut it off. Like I don't check work emails when I'm at home. Mm-hmm. I answer because, you know, I am on call. So I have to answer if anybody calls me, but I try not to. I try not to do anything work related. Now I will, if I'm lucky enough to be off when you're having a podcast, I'll watch it.
Nice.
But I haven't been lucky enough. when the pandemic first started, when I was off, I was watching tons of the Dare to Be Great, the Be the Difference. I mean, I was doing all of that at home, just chilling in my bed, snacking, watching everything. But I try to separate the two. So I try. Now, what I was trying to say, where I had a surprise when we first started, you asked me what my position was here. And I said, I'm a supervisor. Well, I got to work on checking emails at home, and I'm getting a brand new work phone in a couple of weeks because I just got promoted to deputy director.
Oh, shit. Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
That is amazing.
It's going to be a slow transformation because we're extremely shorthanded right now. We lost two. So we're short on days and we're short on nights. So I'm still supervising. I could still get away with wearing my non-uniform when I want to. And, you know, when I come in to meet with my boss on my days off, she does want me in uniform because the last time we had a couple higher ups come in and she's in her uniform and I'm chilling in my bell bottoms and t-shirt, you know, hey, yeah, I'm the new deputy director. How you doing? You know, so after that happened, she's like, when you come meet with me, you're going to have to wear your uniform. But it'll be a slow transition. I'm slowly taking on things, having to redo all my NIMS and FEMA and GMA classes that I've already done, but she wants me to redo them. That's kind of, anybody knows anything about those classes, you're like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you got to do those over because they're.
Right. They're, yeah. That's like doing all the NIMS stuff.
Yes. All over again. But
yeah,
I'm excited. So I got, now I got to start getting used to those things. So she sent me an email the other day. Oh my God, I can't believe you're checking your email when you're off. And I'm like, I know. And I'm responding when I'm off too. You know, like it was weird talking back and forth in email, but slow adjustments that I'll have to start to get used to.
That is awesome. Well, congratulations once again. And I have to also say awesome t-shirt. That t-shirt is awesome.
Yes.
Very,
I got my Wonder
cool.
Woman bracelet on.
Oh, hell look. Yeah. Look at that.
My shout Wonder Woman headband. My headband.
Shout out to my girl, Sarah. Very nice. Good stuff. And the rest of 9 Wonder Women, Inc. That is excellent. So you end up getting in there. And
yes,
I guess what was the interview process like? What was the training like in the beginning? Because you're, and also, did you get a chance to do any type of sit along or anything, or did you just jump right in and let's go with the Lions?
I jumped right in. So I was hired through a temp agency. So that was easy peasy. You just fill out their application. They don't interview you or anything. They call you, hey, I got this job for you. Go. Okay. So it was night shift and my kids were young then. So I had, you know, like I said, me and my husband discussed it and he said, go for it. You know, he works during the day. If I had to work at night, no big deal. So I came in and my first day here, I kind of blew it. So they tell me to wear business attire to a night shift job. And I come in with chunky heels, long skirt, my hair's done real pretty, teased up, curly everywhere, makeup, jewelry on, and these women are wearing t-shirts and sweatpants. And I was late. Like, I'm never, it's rare for me to be late. Hey, this is my second, look, I just admitted to one now, and then what happened today? So maybe I am a little bit more late than I realized. I got lost because I'm not familiar with the area. Even though I had been living here for 7 years, I'm not familiar with this part of town. So they walked me through how to get here, but I completely blew it. She gives me the book of the SOPs and the she gives me the county handbook and I read it. I'm a speed reader twice. So when we finally have a chance to sit down and talk about it, I'm firing off the questions. I'm going to smoke. You ask too many questions. And they just get up. She just gets up. She walks out. She comes back and here I go again. Question. By doing that and showing her how interested and how smart, in a sense, I was, she accelerated my training. I was trained in like 2 months. And when I say she accelerated, she kicked my butt when it came to training. She was very thorough, my chair would get kicked, stuff would get thrown at me, lights flashed in my eyes. My very last day, I'm so excited because I'm like, yeah, I'm about to get put on a rotation. I didn't get a cross street on a traffic stop, which sent me back to the beginning of my training. And I had to do everything over for 2 weeks. Start from the very beginning, start with call taking. She broke down call taking, PD radio, SO radio, fire and EMS. She made me 2 weeks punish me for that because and no matter what I say, I can't justify it. She's right. But it's a teeny tiny short street that has one house and it's a dead end. And like, and she got mad because I did not put a cross street, because that's a huge no-no. Always have right. a secondary. And I know that, so I can't justify it by trying. Well, it's just a little small road. Nope. So I blew it that day too. But
oh, wow.
I mean, she's awesome. She's amazing. When she found out I got the position, she's so cute. She's like, I trained you. She's like so excited. So I said, good. When I mess up for the first time, I'll be like, well, Sherry trained me. And she goes, oh, no. Right. She said, I trained you how to dispatch. Danielle's going to be training you how to be the deputy director. That's not going to fall on me. So,
oh, but Sherry,
we're the only two that are still here. When she first started, they started in October of 2006. Mm-hmm. I started in August of 2007. Sherry was here, so were a bunch of other people. She's the only one still here from that first batch, and I'm the only one that's been here since way back then too.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that you've already been through. But that moment there in training, you know, I bet you never did that again. and that's also, you know, that's also something that because you dealt with the newer folks that are coming in, you can also show them by example.
Yes.
You know, this is what happened to me, and it can happen mm-hmm. to you as well. You can be kicking ass and taking names throughout the whole thing, but you know, there are things that can happen, and it did. And you learned from it. And I mean, look at you now. You're going to be the deputy director.
Yeah, right. And, well, I've been training for the last couple of years too. So that's a big, huge, I'm a huge stickler on. I dare you. Do it. Let me give you punishment for 2 weeks like Sherry did me. Come on. Forget a cross street. You know, just kind of like preparing them for it. But yeah, right. that's a huge thing that sometimes you have to make the mistake mm-hmm. to learn from it. And like I try to tell my trainees, well, I don't want to make a mistake where I get anybody hurt. I'm listening with you. I'm not going to let anything bad happen. I'm not throwing you to the wolves. We want you to succeed, not fail.
Exactly.
You know? And sometimes you have to make a minor little mistake like that. Now I say that to Sherry and she goes, no, uh-uh. As long as you were here, you should have never made that mistake. I told you, I don't know how many times, you know, but
yeah,
that's one you don't want to make a mistake on. But, you know, sometimes you do have to mess up just to learn. And know not to do it.
Right. Yeah. It's just like, you know, a lot of, just for, as an example, you know, any people in, you know, in sports or in fighting, even, you know, MMA or anything like that, you've got all these folks who are, you know, really good fighters, but, when they lose and they come back and they win again, you know, they talk about how, you know, when they lost, they didn't fail, they learned. Mm-hmm. And in the same sense, it's not like you were failing out. It's not like, you know, you stopped or you quit or anything. You learned from it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm getting at is even though things like this happen, you learn and you move forward and you build on what you've learned.
Right.
You know, I tell my kids all the time, you know, if you're going to be doing something, you know, do it with all your heart and passion. And, you know, if you happen to fail, you're not really failing at something. Mm-hmm. You're learning from it. You're going to learn from it and you're going to come back stronger. You're going to continue to push forward and be a better you. And mm-hmm. that's what it looks like you did here.
Yes, I try. I'm a little different, unconventional. I love rainbows and mermaid and glitter and unicorns and bright, flashy stuff and mm-hmm. bell bottoms and rainbows and, you know. And I was kind of, okay, I know I did good on the interview. I know I aced it. I came out of there feeling really good. Whether they gave it to me or not, I didn't care. You know I did my best.
Right.
So I was a little bit shocked because I am unconventional in a sense. But I'm honest, and I know that's what they said. A lot of it was my brutal honesty.
Yeah.
That had a lot to do with it. Like we had a conference, okay, my boss was asked to speak at a conference in Jekyll Island a couple months ago. And she wanted to bring one of us with her to give our side of the story from when we were locked down for that week for COVID. And she asked me, I was even shocked about that. I'm like, oh my God, are you serious? Like, you're asking me, I've got a bad mouth. I'm a jerk girl, you know? And I don't tuck my shirt in like you want me to, like you're actually asking me to go. And she did. And we nailed it. It was awesome. And because of that, her always pushing me outside of my box was another part of the reason why I put in for the position. Part of the reason why I told you I'd like to come speak. when I found 911 Wonder Woman, I'll post stuff on there occasionally. I comment on a lot of stuff. You know, I've talked to Sarah and Edie and a whole bunch of people, but it's bringing me more and more out of my shell. Cause you know, there was one point where I was in burnout really bad. And Danielle had took us to a conference. And if it wasn't for me going to that conference with her, I don't know how long I would have stayed here, because I didn't know that other people were struggling with the shorthandedness, struggling with the mental health problems, struggling with the burnout. You know, I didn't know there were all these avenues and all these places we could go to. The directors prior to that didn't care anything about us. So when I went to that first conference and found all these different avenues of different things, it totally changed my whole perspective about everything. Cause I was like this close. I was a foot and a half out the door. Another part of the reason why I didn't leave, one of my coworkers who was my trainer, got sick, fell ill with cancer and was out for a while. And there was nobody else here to do it but me. I mean, I wasn't gonna walk out on everybody and quit on my team, regardless of how I was feeling about other things. You know what I'm saying? So
right. The
different avenues and my boss and everything, like I've grown so much in the years from that time we first went to that conference, and I had already been here 5 or 6 years by then, you know? Wow. So it's just like, now that I find all the, that's why I always encourage everybody, go to 911 Wonder Woman, go here, go there. Like the guy I'm training right now, a guy, and I've told him about Within the Trenches. I've told him about the podcast. I've told him places he can go other than 911 Wonder Woman to where he can learn the things that I have learned that had helped me a lot. You know right. What I mean? I didn't have any of that in the beginning, or when I was so burnt out and I thought I was going to walk away. I didn't have all that support like I do now.
Yeah, it's... For one, thank you so much for saying that. And that is amazing that, you know, something that, you know, when I started all of this, it was because I didn't have anyone to talk to. You know, I didn't have that resource either. And, you know, I started noticing that a lot of people in the general public, they didn't understand dispatch or what dispatchers do and why they do it, why they're getting put on hold if they're calling 911. Because when you call 911, you would never think that you would get put on hold. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there was, I took it as a way to, you know, kind of flip the switch and pull back that curtain to show people what it is that we do and why we do it. And what it's all about, that dispatchers and call takers are not just answering the phone. There's a lot more going on, and there's a lot more mental health issues that are going on with it as well. So for me, it started out as a project in college, and just sharing that. And then it became therapeutic for me to open up and talk about it. And I've been doing it ever since. And if I could reach just one person with what I've been doing, you know, that was a home run. So it's awesome to hear you say this, but and also to share this with newer folks that are coming in to learn so much more, because for us, those resources weren't there. So conversations like you and I are having right now are gold for those who are coming in, because they're learning from us. They're learning from you and how you jumped in, and also how much you learned just in. So you had two months of an accelerated training.
It wasn't only that though. When I first started here, my accent was straight up Jersey Shore.
Really?
It has changed a lot. It was a lot. It's calmed down. But so they couldn't understand me. And then their accents are so country, I couldn't understand them. So not only was it the accelerated training, but it was the, you know, they get aggravated if you ask them to repeat themselves too much. And then they're constantly asking me. Now they're getting a kick out of it, thinking it's funny. Because, you know, when an officer or a deputy or a fire EMS knows what buttons to push, they push them on purpose. You know what I mean?
Right.
So when we realize there's a huge language barrier between all of us, a lot of them used to tease me and push my buttons a lot, but it helped. It made me feel welcome. But it was... I'd say, yeah, I was trained in 2 months and put on a console on a radio, but I don't think I was legit straight until at least 2 or 3 years later, because by then I was used to everybody and the slang and the, you know, that took a long time. It took a lot. You always know when I'm mad, because that's when the jersey comes out. And that's what they all say. Uh-oh, Jamie's mad. Who made her mad? Who made her mad?
Jersey Jamie has come out.
Yes, that's what they say. But it was very hard. It was a huge thing, Not only, yeah. like I said, not only with the training for this, but getting over that as well.
Right. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, I can imagine, and I commend you fully. You know, like I was saying, you've got the 2 months of accelerated training. You've got, you know, the one mistake that you made and having to go back from the beginning mm-hmm. for 2 weeks to do all of that all the way up again. And then the language barrier type, you know, thing with the accents mm-hmm. and stuff. And then you get through and mm-hmm. you're pushing forward and you continue, you know, throughout all of these years. But let's go back to, you know, the training piece, but as you're coming out, you know, or even in the training with, when you start taking phone calls, do you remember, you know, your first phone call or any of the earlier ones that you were dealing with as you're coming into this, you know, fairly new?
This is really, really, really odd. I don't. I have taken tons of phone calls. Some of them I can count on one hand. Some of them I remember as if they were yesterday. Some of them I don't. And then, like you said, with the brain, you remember 100 names and then something ticks up. That's kind of like what happens. But then all of a sudden out of nowhere, I'll remember a call from like 2 weeks into being on my own that I hadn't thought about in 11 years. So it's really, I do have a set certain amount of call. I can remember, how about not necessarily some of my phone calls, but the let's record everything stupid Jamie says and keep it on the supervisor console and play it for trainees. We had a lot of that. One time I dispatched a call, a tree hit a vehicle. Another time I dispatched a call and told them that animal control was en route, but I said like animal en route control, something like every stupid thing I've said on the radio, they recorded and they saved. For a long, long, long time. That computer crashed and we lost it, but it was, everybody used to get a kick out of it. They said like I brought a breath of fresh air because I wasn't from around here. What, I didn't grow up with all these people. I can handle things a little bit differently than everybody else because it wasn't my uncle or my cousin or my mother that was calling. So sometimes those hard calls that might be really harder to others weren't as hard to me because, well, yeah, okay, somebody's having a heart attack or somebody's dying, that is hard, but it wasn't my next door neighbor for 5 years. It wasn't my cousin's right. teacher for 10 years. You know what I mean? So it did make, I process things a little bit differently than the other women here who I worked with just because of that reason. Now, after I've been doing it for so long and my kids are growing up and you become friends with all these guys and you make your friends here and this and that, then things started to change. But in the beginning, it was easier. It was easier in the beginning.
I can definitely see that because the dispatch center that I ended up finishing off my career at, it was a county that I grew up in. So the west side of the county, I pretty much knew everybody around there, friends, family, all of it. And those were hard calls to take. Mm-hmm. And I was always walking the line on whether, you know, I tell the person my name and who I am or just stay quiet. Now, if it was a family member, I would always tell them and it would calm them. And they would be more open. Right. Now, if it were a friend that I knew there, or someone I went to school with like that, I wouldn't say my name. And if they asked my name, I would say Ricardo, but they wouldn't know it was me because in high school, everybody knew me as Rich. They didn't even know my name was Ricardo.
Right.
And so it was easier in that sense. But, you know, also if I would have told my friends who I was on the phone, one of two things are going to happen. Either they're going to feel comfortable as well, mm-hmm. or they're going to clam up and they're not going to say anything because now they're slightly embarrassed because right. someone that they know knows their business.
Yep.
And, you know, so it was always hard and everything, but I can see with you coming in the beginning there mm-hmm. and not knowing everyone the way others do. Yeah, it would be way easier to be taking some of these calls. You know, I've spoken to a lot of people and, you know, they, their experience that they have in their life sometimes ends up creeping into dispatch and phone calls that they've taken because they have that experience and they're able to speak to that person a lot better than someone else who might not have that experience.
Right.
And to relate. So in this sense, it was kind of the same where because you didn't fully have that experience in there yet mm-hmm. and knowing people, it was easier for you to deal with a lot of those harder calls.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that I haven't dealt with hard calls since mm-hmm. then, but it being that easy in the beginning, it did shift at a time, point in time and change, but it still made it slightly easier. I took a call from one of my kids' friends one time. The boyfriend was beating the mom, had hit her with the flat end of the broom, all kinds of stuff. And the girl is like precise, giving me directions, description of his vehicle, his tag, what he was wearing, how tall he, every single thing. I don't know what I said to her. But as soon as I said, maybe I might have called her. No, I didn't call her honey because I've never done that. We're not allowed to do that. I don't know what I have, what I said. She knew it was me and forget it. Instantly started screaming and crying and bawling, like just freaking out. But and I guess it was maybe a tone of my voice or something that clicked for her and she realized it was me. Because like I said, she was strong through the whole call, giving me everything that I asked, everything. And then I don't know what it was. And they wound up catching the guy by the end of the night. The mom came to the house like 2 days later apologizing to me for her daughter calling 911 for nothing.
Ugh.
And this is like my daughter's, two of my daughter's friends. Right. And I'm like, first of all, you don't have to call an apology. And I think it's because of what you said. She was embarrassed because now I know her business.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think that was probably why. That was a pretty hard one to take after I had gotten off the phone. But like I said, the one deputy, he sat there all night long till he came home and he got him. Here recently, my husband's name is Greg, but he's got a nickname. His nickname's Toogie. So everybody here at work knows him as Toogie. It's rare that I call him Greg or Gregory. Mm-hmm. So I'm taking a phone call and the man, stage 4 cancer, pretty much he's dead. The wife was telling me, you know, there's a blood trail everywhere. He's laying in the kitchen floor, stiff, all the gross, gory details. And I stayed on the phone with her. I told her I paged him out and stayed on the phone with her. And she said, well, I'm putting the phone down. And you can hear her. She picked him up. And she's, you're the love of my life, Gregory. You're my soulmate. Don't leave me. Like, for the whole 7-8 minutes it took for EMS to get there, I had to sit down and listen to, Gregory, we've been together forever. And so I get up and I'm like, I'm going to step outside. And oh gosh, she says, why? And I said, because that bothered me a little bit. I'm having a bit of an issue. I'm going to step outside. Mm-hmm. Whatever, Jamie, you're such a crybaby. So I go outside and she was teasing me, mind you. So I go outside and I needed a break from that. You know, that's my husband's name. And I came back.
Right.
And, you know, I was just teasing you, right? This is my trainer. The only two of us that are here, 11 and a half years. We act like we're an old married couple. So we know each other's buttons to push. She teases me all the time. She said, oh my gosh, he's going to ask you about training. You're going to say such terrible things about me. But you know, she was teasing me to try to get me in a better mood before I walked outside. Like she didn't want me to lose it. You know, that was one of the tougher ones I took recently. I mean, there's been a handful. And then there's been the, are you kidding me? You're really calling 911 for this? Like I've got a million of those too. A lot. It's been a lot that it's so hard to kind of, you don't always want to remember or hold on to the really bad ones. You know what I'm saying? Like you don't want them always there. So occasionally I took a call a couple months ago that was related to another bad call I took prior in the beginning of when I first started, totally forgot about it until I'm taking this one. And it was giving me flashbacks of the other one. You know what I'm saying? So like taking this call that was almost similar brought up all the memories of the other one. So I don't know if it's just something I do on my own. It was nothing I was ever taught or trained. Mm-hmm. It doesn't give me any, I don't believe I have PTSD or any of that stuff like that. Cause I'm not suffering in ways where I'm depressed or this because of what I do. You know, only thing I really lacked for a long time was me time. Like, what do you do for yourself? What's your self-care plan? Self-care, what is that? You know what I'm saying? Like that was the, once I learned about that, it was a lot easier for me to get over being burnt out. And I mean, cause there was a time I was working like 18, 19 days in a row. I was getting called in on my only days off. I went 5 months working with no weekend off. My husband's a truck driver and only home on the weekends. Every weekend I was supposed to have off, I was getting called in. I went through a lot. You know, I said yes once or twice too many times. And then it was then it was expected. And when I would say no, it was a whole different thing. So I never said no. You know what I'm saying? I went through a lot. But all those little things are what had helped me, like that conference and learning about taking some time for yourself. And, you know, I never had that before. It was always work and then the kids and then work and then the kids. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Once I learn to balance all those things, it makes it a lot easier. It does.
See, and that's one of those things too, that when we start, and it's changed a lot more now, especially
Now. Oh.
But so when I started in 2001, and even towards like the middle of my dispatching career, there wasn't talk of, or at least a lot of talk of self-care, especially in the beginning in 2001. Mm-hmm. Nobody was talking about self-care, or when I first started and I was training, no one told me, you know, you're going to go through this. You need to take care of your own mental health because it's gonna creep up on you when you least expect it. None of that was going on. So a lot of things have changed, especially from around 2016 all the way up and to now. So it's really good. I want to go back really quick to this call with the name that has the same name as your husband. You know, that especially, you know, taking a phone call like that and hearing that name. So we're empaths, you know, we put ourselves in the shoes of our callers to be able to relate with them. We're calm, cool, and collected. We're freaking out in the back of our heads, but we don't show that, right? But we find ways to relate with the caller to be able to comfort them and also kind of control the call a little bit so that we can get the information that we need, not only for them, but for those who are going out there, right? So we're doing all of this stuff, but there's an impact that does affect us. That's a trigger, you know, you hearing that name. And because it's your husband's, you needed to take a moment outside to process that because you're putting yourself in that person's shoes, listening and thinking, if that were me, you know, how would I want someone to help me on the phone? So you're doing all of this, right? And for me as well, I had taken a call once where it was a suicide call. It involved two brothers. And the only thing that helped me, so after the call, I remember my supervisor asking me if I was okay. And of course I said, yes, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't want to reveal that, right? I didn't want to show that that it bothered me. Mm-hmm. And so that was around 3 a.m. or something when that happened. So 5 a.m. when I get out of my shift, as soon as I leave dispatch, I get in my car and I immediately call my brother because it was just bothering me, just listening to the screams, just everything, you know, putting myself in their shoes. Mm-hmm. What if it was my brother? What if this happened? And I just remember I'm on the phone and I just kept saying, come on, man, please pick up, please pick up. And he picked up. And as soon as he said hello, I said, I love you, man. And it's 5 a.m. So he's half awake and he goes, shut the hell up. and I said, no, man, I'm serious. I said, I love you. And he goes, what's wrong? And I said, I'm just getting out of dispatch. And I told him about the call. And at the end of the call, or at the end of what, you know, what I was telling him, he goes, man, I love you too. But that I had to hear his voice to feel better.
To feel better, yep.
Yes. And in the same sense with your call that you took, you needed to take that break because that name was your husband's name.
Yeah.
And that affected you.
Yeah. We've come a long way from the suck it up buttercup attitude that used to, like you said, right when you pull your big girl panties up, leave it at the door. We've come a long way from that. And it's a huge culture change in a lot of centers. And that's one thing my director is really, she's trying to change it the best that she can, make it more positive, this and that. So it's kind of hard to do when you've, for all those years, been told that. And Sherry knows that I'm very passionate about that and trying to change the culture too. So that's why she's being a smart ass when she was like, oh, okay, crybaby, go ahead. You know, that was just her way of telling me she understood what was going on. Go take whatever time you needed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's changed. It's come. It's changed a lot. Like you said, with, you know, you had to call your brother just to feel better. I do have a good support team. My husband, one of my best friends here down south, she calls me her superhero all the time. So they were not shocked when I have Wonder Woman everything prior to finding 911 Wonder Woman. Anything they would see Wonder Woman, they would buy for me. They always call me that for a long, long time. So it was just kind of awesome when I found the group. I have people that I can talk to. I do, genuinely. And they will listen to me. And they will, you know, they tell me all the time, I love you. And, you know, I was listening to you tonight on the radio. And you're awesome. You're great. You're this. You know, I do have that support team, but it's still not the same. And when my son became a deputy, I told him, look, don't keep things in. I have been there, done that. I've been doing this long enough. If you need to talk to somebody, you can call me and talk to me. Don't ever feel embarrassed or ashamed or anything. I'll be here for you no matter what. Wrong thing to do, because that phone rings 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm freaking the hell out. Like, oh my God. 3:30 in the morning. I'm like, oh my God, what's wrong?
I know. I can imagine. Like that's got to be a scary thing. I worked with a lot of women whose their spouses were deputies or mm-hmm. city officers or troopers or whichever. And I remember sitting there with them and it would be like after, you know, a high priority call, you know, for us, we had code 7. So code 7 for us was hold all traffic and keep mm-hmm. that main traffic. If someone calls for it on the main channel, everybody else go to the other channel.
Right.
And we would hold the air for them. And, you know, after some of those, I would say, you know, how can you sit here and have them out there in a situation that we don't know anything that's going on? And I remember they would tell me, you know, I believe, or I know that they know their job well enough and in everything that they're going to be safe. And that's what I hold on to. And the fact that we're in there and doing everything that we can to help them. And of course they have their brothers and sisters out there, mm-hmm. you know, on whatever incident with them. And it makes a lot of sense. But, you know, before I asked, that was a big thing. I just remember sitting there thinking, I'm feeling, you know, a certain way. I can't imagine how they are feeling because that's their spouse.
I'm telling you,
or girlfriend or whichever.
I was so happy when he made the decision not to work in our county and work in another one. He knew that I was stressing because, you know, oh yeah, you're going to school. Oh, you want to be an officer. And then the next thing you know, it's like here. And I'm like, he's interning with me and he's riding with my boys who, oh yeah, that's Jamie's kid. Come on, we're going to the firing range. And I'm like, oh, come on, we're pulling every car over we can. We're going to serve warrants. Come on, Javon. Yeah, let's go. You know? And I'm like, don't just do it on the nights I'm not working. Come on, man. You know, but anyway, yeah. He made the decision in the end, which was the best decision. But one of the main reasons was he didn't want to put all that stress on me. He knew how stressful and rough that would be for me. So now whenever I see Banks County 911 calling on our little, I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I'm like, they're like, hey, Jamie, I just want to pass out a bow. I'm like, oh, thank goodness. You know, anytime his number pops up or their number pops up, I'm like freaking out. Oh, that's rough. Geez. That's rough.
Yeah, that gives me the chills. It is. I can't even imagine.
And then all my girls, all their phone numbers are underneath his name. So whenever they call, it pops up, Javon Jones, Javon Jones. And I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? Because I don't know their numbers. They're in my phone, you know?
Right.
So, oh gosh, that's always the worst. My husband's job called one time, 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm taking a 911 call, walking through my EMD procedure, and I see Christensen Transportation on the caller ID. That was the longest 1.5 minute phone call I ever took in my life. Because why is his job calling me 2-3 o'clock in the morning? So I get off the phone, and before she even had a chance to tell me, hey, Jamie, that phone's for you, I picked it up right away. I was freaking out. He's like, oh, hey, this is Adam. I just wanted to let you know your husband's shut down right now. He has no service where he is, and he didn't want you to freak out because he didn't call you and tell you goodnight.
Oh, man. So I was holding my breath at that moment listening to you tell me that.
Me too. Right. Because you know what? About a year ago, he shut down at this place. I couldn't get in touch with him. I'm freaking out for hours. Finally, I called their 800. I called the 800 number for his company and went through so many different prompts. And I got Adam, as a matter of fact. And he was like, well, I can't tell you where your husband is. And I'm like, I'm not asking you to tell me where he is. Just tell me that he shut down. Well, and I said, do you not know who you're talking to? I said, I am a dispatcher. Do not make me go crazy for the second half of my shift. I've already done it the first half, you know? And he said, well, I'm pretty confident in my relationship with Greg. He said, okay, so I'll tell you, yeah, he shut down and he's fine. I was like, thank you. That's all I wanted to know. And he was like, I hope you don't get mad at me. This dude had told a woman one time where her husband was shut down. Well, it was her ex-husband. They were going through a bad divorce and she busted all the windows out of his truck.
Oh, shit.
And it was that Adam that told him. So that's why he was skeptical. So it was so funny that it turned out to be that Adam a year later who called me to tell me, hey, he shut down and he can't call you. Don't freak out about it, you know? So, yeah, it's you're at work dealing with all that. Then you have all these other factors that come in, too. Like you said, we wear so many hats. Mm-hmm. I'm also a mom and I'm also a wife, and you know what I mean? So there's all these different, you can't leave it at the door like it used to be, like they used to tell you, no matter how hard you try, that's, it's impossible.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So you've worked all this time and you've got all of this experience and everything. And now you are, you're going into being a deputy director, which is amazing. What was the inspiration, you know, to go up? Was it just, you know, the opportunity was there, or was it more so because, you know, you've had, you know, good training, you've had all of this other stuff that's going on, all these different experiences, and you want to make a change. You want to change, you know, change the culture, but also with those, that next generation of 911 coming in, to be able to guide them to right. the way things are now.
Honestly, I didn't know if I was going to accept the job if it was offered to me. Seriously. Actually, I wasn't even going to do it. I had talked about applying for it, but then said, no, I'm not going to do it. I turned in my application like the last day, the very last day. No lie. Very last day. I didn't want to be mad at myself for not at least applying myself and at least trying in the end, you know, and I didn't know that right. I was going to take it. Cause I'm like, I make very close to this right now doing what I'm doing. If there, and I got to take on EMA also, why would I? Well, somebody explained it to me in a way that I'm making that much money busting my ass working 60, 72 hours over. That's the trade-off. I'll have holidays off. I'll have weekends off. Now, that's not why. Oh, yay. That's why I want the job. No, that's not it either. That wasn't it either. It kind of, I've always been a huge team player, and I never would want to abandon the team. And it was a huge adjustment when you have two directors who could care less, and then you get one who actually cares. And she comes in, and she's making all these changes. And you've got people that have been there for so long, so set in their way. Well, why do we have to do this? Well, I'm not doing it. Blah, 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 blah. No, me. Generally, I'll ask why. Explain to me so I understand a little bit better. But I'll, at the end of the day, she's my boss. I'm going to do it anyway. You know, right. And she's been making a lot. We have like the same vision, like same kind of like, she'll be like, okay, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to get done. And I'll do anything that I can to try and help. You know, and she wears a lot of hats because she's the director for EMA and for 911. So she's having to do both. And I know that's a lot for her, and anything that I could do to help, I'm going to be willing to do. So I wouldn't have been upset if I didn't get the position. If somebody else got it over me because there were other people that applied, I wouldn't have been upset because at least I tried. Mm-hmm. I really didn't want to see an outsider come in, to be 100% honest. They opened it internally first, and then they would have opened it, you know, countywide or whatever, and then it would have went further from there. Because they haven't been here long enough to know and to understand. And I think what makes the big, huge difference is I have been doing this for so long. That's the thing with our director. She was actually doing it for years before she even came here. So she knows and she understood us, where the other two, they were just yes men, did whatever they had to, at the end of the day, called it, you know, they're going home. They didn't care. They didn't put in any effort. She actually knew what it was like and what we have been through. And I want to be that person too. I know what it's like. I'm fighting for you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I got your best intentions.
That's awesome. That's how it was for me at my old center. We had, when I got there, there was one person that was there who was the head of it all, who had not been in dispatch before. And mm-hmm. then when he left, then the deputy director moved up to director. And then we had one of my supervisors, who was also my trainer at mm-hmm. one time, who moved into the deputy director spot. And it was awesome because we had two people there who came from the chair, who came from where we came from. And they were fighting for us and pushing for us. And it just meant so much more to be able to have that. So that's mm-hmm. you know, amazing that you all will have that as well.
Yeah.
Now, as we're getting to the wrap up of this episode, I want to touch on the pandemic. Let's jump into 2020.
Because see, it's like I don't have, I have a, I'll start talking about something and it makes me think of something else and I completely go off a track of everything. But it's not even one of those, you know, everybody has those squirrel. No, it's not that for me. It's just, oh, let me talk about this because if I don't say something now, I'm going to forget. Yeah, well, we didn't even really get to talk about that.
But this has been good though, because this is a lot of your story and everything. Right. And that's exactly what I wanted to do, is to be able to highlight you and share your story and such. But there was a week where you all were locked down during...
It was actually two.
It was 2 weeks.
No, it was one shift locked down for 8 days, then they were off for 8 days when the other shift came in. So the center was actually locked down. So I get a phone call one day when I'm sleeping. I'm night shift. Please don't poke the bear. And I don't normally answer. I don't normally answer. I'm sleeping, though. They could talk to me when I wake up, you know. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, I just picked up the phone, and they're like, hey, one of our coworkers is being tested for COVID. Okay, what does that have to do with me? Oh, I was just told to call everybody. Bye. I hang up. You know, like, let me go back to bed. I got to work tonight, you know, type of deal. Well, then, well, let me rewind real quick.
Yes.
One day I come into work and there is a washer and dryer being installed. And I'm like, huh, that's odd. You know, week later, come walking in, we've got a deep freezer in the kitchen. And I'm like, you know, that's pretty cool. Deep freezer, we could use that. That'll help. Come walking in, there's about 15 blow-up mattresses, 15 blankets, 25 pillows sitting over here. And I'm like, well, what's going on? Oh, well, Danielle's just getting prepared in case we got to shut down. And, you know, we're all like, she can't make us shut down. We're not staying here. What's she talking about? All of us, yeah. Like, she can't make us do that. She's crazy. She's wasting all this money. What's wrong with her? Come in, whole table's full of shampoos, conditioners, hair bows, brushes. My boss has a really short, clean cut haircut. There's blow dryers, hair bows, scrunchies, shampoo, mousse, conditioner, everything and anything. And I'm like, she's out of her mind. We're all like, there's something seriously wrong with this woman. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to that phone call. Yeah, okay, whatever. Bye. I'm going to bed. Like, why are you waking me up to tell me? You could have told me when I came in tonight, you know?
Right.
So I come in and they're like, well, we got to come up with a plan of what we're going to do if she tests positive. And I'm like, well, I don't work with her. I work the opposite rotation of her. So that don't have anything to do with me. Worry about the people that were working with her and let them figure it out, you know? Not realizing, just, you know, this is the things that I'm saying. Well, then sure enough, the next day, what I get told what the plan would be if anything happened is, since we were least exposed to her, we'd be the first group to shut down because their day shift wasn't around her. They're the opposite rotation, and this is my night shift's opposite rotation. So she'll quarantine the group of people that were around her the most if she's positive. If she's not, then we're good. Okay, well, I get the phone call. Pack your bags. And I'm like, huh? Pack your bags when you come into work today. We're shutting down. And I'm like, after I had worked two nights, I'd already worked two nights in a row. I'm like, okay. And I hang up the phone. I go back to sleep because it was early. Mm-hmm. And then it hits me. And I'm like, oh, I jump up and I call my boss. And I'm like, okay, so what all do I need to bring? Well, Jamie, you know, I took care of everything. You just need to bring your uniform. And I said, uniforms? Why do we have to wear uniforms if we're locked in? Jamie, no rainbows, no shiny mermaid pants, no glitter slippers, no rainbow Converse. She said, you can wear your weekend uniform. She said, now I don't mind you wearing your pajamas when you're not on duty, but when you're on duty, I want you in your weekend uniform, which is public safety t-shirts and jeans. Okay, fine. She shot down everything I asked for, but that's fine. I have ways to overcome that. So I go back to sleep. Then my phone rings. Hey, what do you want to eat from the store? I'm like, I'm sleeping, man. I got to work tonight and I got to pack my stuff before I come in. Well, we're trying to run to the store to get everything that we need. And I said, okay, just buy me some unsweet tea. I don't care about anything else. I'll eat whatever. Lay back down. 30 minutes later, the phone rings for something again. And I'm like, can you guys just leave me alone? Just leave me alone. Let me sleep before I have to come in. So the day shift supervisor says, take your time coming in. Do whatever you have to do. Pack. Take your time. Because once you get here, we're going home to pack our stuff and we're coming right back. So I'm like, okay, it's all good. I can never be late when I try. See, why am I late sometimes and not late the other times? Like, I'll call them. Hey, dude, I'm running late and I'm still here on time. Every time I call them and tell them I'm going to be late, I always make it on time. So me being me, I leave my house. I wasn't going to take any extra time. I was going to get there when I needed to. I wanted a body pillow. I've been wanting one for weeks, and my husband said, you already got two. You don't need any more, Jamie. You're not buying that damn pillow. Well, yeah. This called for me buying that body pillow. Perfect excuse to finally get it. He couldn't tell me no. I'm like, I need it for work. So I stop at the dollar store to get the body pillow and lock the keys in my car.
Oh.
So I'm like, okay, well, you know what? She told me to take my time. I don't need to be there in any rush. I called work. I said, send somebody to come and unlock my car for me. This is where I'm at. Sat out there, smoked a cigarette while I was waiting. And all of a sudden, my boss starts blowing up my phone. Where are you? You need to hurry up. You need to get here. The people need to take your COVID test, and they're ready to go. They've been here for an hour already. Oh. And I'm like, hey, I'm standing there 15 minutes wait. I locked my keys in my car. I called work and told them that's all I'm waiting on. Yeah, 2 seconds later, like three officers are all pulling in at the same time because I guess they made some phone calls, and they were like, we need to get Jamie to work.
Holy crap.
Yeah, so I get there, and we get the COVID tested, and everything went smooth. I mean, you know, all the junk we sat there and talked, oh, she's crazy. She can't make us do this. Not one of us refused. Not one of us said no. Not one of us complained. Nothing. We had everything and anything we needed or could have wanted already provided for us. Like I said, all we had to do was just bring our clothes and ourselves. Working night shift. So like day shift, when they got off, they'd go back there and eat lunch together or eat dinner together. We can hear them laughing, cracking up while they're sitting there watching movies and watching TV. And it's like, I'm already hanging out with this girl for 12 hours here, and night shift, you know, it has its moments. So 2 o'clock in the morning, we're eating dinner, laughing, cutting up, watching TV together. You know, we don't want to do that when we get off. So I kind of feel like all I really did was like sleep and work. Sleep and work. Whereas like day shift, they would go outside and take a little walk around the building and so on and so forth. And I'm not doing that because I'm sleeping. And I didn't get up to antagonize my boss though. So like I put on my shiny purple unicorn pajama pants and went in there and sat in there and made some coffee one day when I knew she was still here, you know. And then the next day, like I went in there with like some rainbow bright pajama pants or something, you know, my hair sticking up everywhere, my big rainbow headbands, all kinds of stuff. On purpose, because, you know, she told me I couldn't do those things. Don't tell me I can't do something because I find a way to do it.
There you go.
It was pretty good. I can't tell you. I was ready to go home. It was nice because then we came home and we had 8 days off.
Oh, well, that's even better then.
But it's like I didn't know what to do with myself for those whole 8 days. Because I'm so used to, I was here for 8 days in a row. So that was rough because after the 8 days I came back, I was a newbie. I had to be retrained by my trainee all over again. Like, Jamie, did you just say that on the radio? No, I didn't. You did not hear me say anything. Jamie, did you just tell that person that? No, I did not do that. You didn't hear me do it. I encourage my trainees to correct me, to, if I'm doing something wrong that I told them not to do, to throw it in my face. Sometimes I do it on purpose to see if they're paying attention.
Oh, that's good. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah. I encourage them to call me out. Oh, and trust me, every chance they get, they try to. So.
Did you notice during those 8 days that you were all locked up? putting it that way, you were locked
up. They won't let me out.
Yeah. What types of calls were you all receiving? Because I can only imagine that, and this is probably, you know, bad to say, but I feel like there were maybe a lot more disorderly or domestic calls that were probably coming in. Just because, you know, you get that cabin fever with people who are just in the room together for so long. Mm-hmm. And especially if the relationship or whatever is, you know, kind of going south already, mm-hmm. it probably made it, you know, go up, you know, the levels even more for a lot of the calls that you were, you know, that you ended up getting.
Well, we were lucky. Me and my partner. We're lucky when it came to our units, our officers, our deputies. We got really lucky. They knew what was going on and they kind of took it easy on us. Okay. Mm-hmm. The calls, just our regular standard everyday calls. We didn't really have too many. It's rough because, you know, you can go 3-4 weeks with nothing. And then you're mm-hmm. 2 weeks, every shift you're working, you're slammed.
Right.
That happened to be a week that we were really lucky. We lucked out big time. when we rotated and the next group of people came in, oh, hell no. Wreck after wreck after wreck after shooting after this after that, they got slammed their whole 8 days here. Like, wow. Almost every day they had something going on that was serious. They got slammed. And I guess by then our officers were tired of pumping the brakes a little bit. So they were like, you know what? Screw this. I'm done with them. I'm doing it. Now, we never told them not to do their job. They felt they needed to pull a car over. They pulled them over. They felt right. They had to do this. But they just took it easier on us, like with their business checks and, you know what I'm saying? Stuff right. like that. But so I guess they were going a little bit stir crazy come that second week too. But it was an experience. I would 100% do it again.
There you go. Would,
no, hands down, no ands, if, ors, but we got paid really good for it, Ricardo. I'm not saying that's why.
I know.
When everybody looks at me like I'm crazy, I throw that out there really quick because, yes, I am crazy. I would, like I said, team player, man. I'll do everything and anything that I can. And there's a lot of stuff that I have to let go. That it's not easy sometimes when certain situations are being thrown in my face. And I'm like, why is it different for this person when it wasn't like that for me back then? You know, a lot of things that I have to let go, and I'm trying really, really hard. But regardless, I'll do whatever it is that I can at any time to help out with anything. That's just because a lot of people, oh yeah, I love my job. But then you have a lot of people that say that, but they really don't.
Right.
And at one point I was ready to give up and I was ready to throw in the towel, but I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad I found all those different avenues and all those different places that I can go to and different people I can talk to keep me here, because who knows where I'd be now if I left when I had wanted to.
Right.
Or when I thought about it, you know? So
it has been amazing to have you on here.
Thank you.
And hear your story and talk about all of this stuff that, mm-hmm. that you have and to learn more. And again, congratulations on this promotion that's going to be coming up soon.
Thank you.
To go into the last question of this episode, you talk about this lockdown, this 8-day lockdown and everything. And for those who are watching and listening, and God forbid that anything like this happen again, mm-hmm. but if it were to, I can see that a lot of what happened during those 8 days too, is that there was a lot more buildup of that camaraderie and being there for each other in support in all of this that's going on. So for those who are watching and listening to this, to hear from you, what is a way that if something like this happened again, people are able to get through this and also, keep their morale up? Because I can see in some places, morale might go down. But listening to you and the stuff that went on there, it was a good outcome. Overall, ultimately, it was a good outcome. So what can people do to keep the morale up? And this would be even in general. How can people keep their morale up and continue to build that camaraderie with those that they work with?
Our director is really awesome. She involves herself with us a lot, and that's a big, huge help. She's got a really good, strong team, and she says it's all because of us, but a lot of it is because of her and her leadership. Mm-hmm. Another thing is we don't always get along. There are times when there are shifts that are each at each other's necks, but when it really comes down to it and when it's really important, we all know we can count on each other. And so, like I was saying, I'm the cook, and day shift had stuff going in the crock pots during the day. I woke up early and lit up the grill, and we all had dinner that one night. We had our community bringing, but just doing, we try to do little things for each other. We try to give each other shout outs, whether a supervisor sends out a message about something somebody on her shift that did that was really great, or the director does, or something that I'm going to start doing when I start taking over QA and QI and doing a lot of that stuff. It's just the encouraging each other all the time type of thing. That really goes a long way. And like I said, we don't always get along. There have been times when we've all been in each other's throats, where there were times when I went to my director and said, hey, you need to sit them down right now before it completely blows up in here. It's none of my business, but it's my business in a sense, because you can feel the tension. There are times, there are moments. But when it came down to it, we all did what we had to do. And why are you going to sit here and be miserable the whole time? You can't go nowhere.
Right.
I think that has a lot to do with it too. We all just did what we had to do and made the best of it as best as we could.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you again. Thank you so much for being on. This has been excellent.
Thank you.
You know, if you ever want to come on again, we can talk way more, because I think there's a lot that we could definitely talk about. So
I might see if I can bring some of my coworkers on with me. I might see if I could get Sherry, because let me tell you, she will fangirl all over you. She's the first one that ever heard you speak on the first Dare to Be Great. And she told everybody, if you're not going to watch any of those videos, watch Ricardo's. And she would freak out. I wonder if I could talk her into it. I might have to bribe her with something.
Well, that would be awesome. Yeah. You let her know that I would love to have her on and talk to her as well. That is awesome. Thank you so much for everything and for the job that you do.
Thank you.
I will be right back here with you in just one moment. And for those who are watching, if you have any comments, questions, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us, and that'll be WTTpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. That is @91podcast. You can like us on Facebook, and that is Facebook.com. There's always so much stuff that I have to say here at the end. That is Facebook.com/WithinTheTrenchesPodcast. This episode has been sponsored by InDigital, as well as Rapid Deploy and Carbyne. And again, big shout out to patrons as always. And if you would like to become a patron and help support us, you can go to Patreon.com/WTTPodcast. And there's a lot of bonus material that you'll get from that, as well as discounts to the store, swag, and so much more. So make sure to check us out. Once again, that is Patreon.com/WTTPodcast. And this can be seen on Facebook, Twitter, as well as YouTube. It can be heard 24/7 on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, your favorite podcasting app, and withinthetrenches.net. Have a good one, everyone, and we'll see you in the next one.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to WTTpodcast@gmail.com.